Let's pray. Heavenly Father, gracious God, we seek your wisdom and your help. We seek your grace in hearing and receiving your word of truth. Speak to our hearts, to our wills, and speak to our minds. And reform us and reshape us according to your word of truth in our ways of thinking and speaking and behaving. And we pray, Father, for a heart that is ready and willing to honor and love and be loyal to all of those that you have placed in authority over us, the authorities that you have ordained and instituted for our well-being. We pray for humble hearts, and we pray, Father, that we might seek peace in loving our neighbor in this way as well. We ask for your help and wisdom and your grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's turn together to Matthew chapter 22. If you are using one of our church Bibles this morning, you'll find this passage, on page 827. Matthew 22, verses 15 through 22. And then we will turn to the text in Leviticus 19, verse 3. And here we find the Pharisees once again putting Jesus to the test. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him in his talk. And they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. And then let's turn to Leviticus 19, verse 3, page 97. As we're making our way through the Heidelberg Catechism's explanation of the Ten Commandments, we're also making our way through Leviticus 19. We've looked at a portion of verse 3 already about keeping the Sabbaths of the Lord, but we want to consider the first part of this verse with respect to the fifth commandment. I'll begin reading at verse 1 there. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my commandments, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God.'" And thus far the reading of God's holy word. On page 52 in the back of the Blue Psalter hymnal, you'll find Lord's Day 39, and we have question and answer 104. We'll read that responsively, and this concerning the fifth commandment. Page 52 in the back of the Blue Psalter hymnal. Question 104, what is God's will for us in the fifth commandment?
"That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother, and all those in authority over me, that I obey and submit to them, as is proper, when they correct and punish me, and also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us."
And thus far, our confession. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have all heard the temper tantrum in the store or at the mall or in the park. The kid throwing a tantrum because his parents said something that he didn't like and he didn't want to do what they said. Maybe it was time to go home, or maybe it was, no, you can't have a toy or a candy or something like that. And so there's this rebellion against authority. We've all heard the child also scream, "That's unfair," when some sort of judgment, punishment, decision by the parents isn't likable. Or the eye roll of the teenager when they're asked a very, very simple thing to do, and that was their response to their parents. Some of those instances are mildly amusing, maybe. Others of them are just flat out infuriating. And it doesn't look good on kids, does it? When they reject the authority of their parents in those kinds of ways and throw those kinds of temper tantrums, or when they disobey. You know, it doesn't look good on adults either. And we might not throw a temper tantrum, and we might not throw ourselves on the ground flailing our arms and our legs. But at how many referees have we said, "That's unfair," or "Bad call," or "Open your eyes, ref"? Or maybe in the break room, talking about your employer. "Yeah, he just doesn't really get it. He doesn't really know how it works around here. He doesn't seem to understand." Or, "These policies at work are just plain unfair." Or wives rolling their eyes, maybe mentally, at their husbands. Or maybe church members rolling their eyes mentally at the elders and their decisions, or talking behind their back. "They just don't really seem to get it. They don't understand." Or maybe about your teachers, boys and girls, on the playground or after school, or maybe as you're huddled together working on a project. "Teacher just can't teach this class. I could do it way better. They don't seem to understand or know the content, or they're not trying very hard." We say these things and we think these things in our minds and in our hearts because at the heart of it we think we could do it better. Or we think we should be the person in the position of authority because then everything would be right. There's so much pride behind it. And there's so little recognition of the fact that God has ordained these people in authority over us for our good. Even government. We read that in Romans 13. They're not there. Their purpose isn't to harm you. Now, we can talk about corrupt government. We can talk about government that doesn't follow its own laws. But that's another subject. Our purpose in understanding the fifth commandment is understanding our responsibility as those under authority. What is our responsibility toward those that are in authority over us? And it is to honor and to love and to be loyal to them, because God has ordained them to rule over us for our good. And it is nothing short of the pride of man for us to stand back against whatever authority it is, whether it's your boss at work or the elders of the church, or your husband, or your teacher, or the referee, or the coach, or the government. For us to stand back and say, "I could do it better. I don't need that authority. I can rule my life my own way, with my own strength and my own wisdom. I really am the one that knows best." And that's a very sinful position to be in. That is a very sinful line of thinking and of heartfelt desire. But it really quickly reveals what we really are. We're sinners that naturally reject all authority. And not just the authority that God has ordained, but the authority of God Himself. That's really the heart of it. What we're called to instead, as I said, is to honor, love, and be loyal to those in authority over us. Because whether we like it or not, God has given us fathers and mothers, boys and girls. And he's given us elders in the church, and he's given us husbands, and he's given us teachers, and he's given us others that have authority over us. And as God's people, redeemed in Jesus Christ and saved by grace, we're called to this, to do this. Even to love. This is part of love your neighbor as yourself. You need to love those that are in authority over you, as well as honoring them and respecting them. But can we do this? Well, of course, it's easy to do this, or easier to do this, when things are going our way. It's a lot easier to respect the referee when he's making bad calls in your favor than when he's making bad calls that are detrimental to you. Or here's another example. Do you find it easy to pray for our current president? Do you find it easy to love him? It's hard. It's hard, especially when there are glaring faults in those that are in authority over us, when we see their weaknesses, and when things become difficult for us because of that authority. It's very difficult to do this. So can we do this? Well, certainly not in ourselves. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need His blood to cover our sins of this commandment, first of all. We need His righteousness in keeping this commandment on our behalf, second of all. And we need Christ's ongoing wisdom and grace and Spirit working within us in order to produce a godliness with respect to the fifth commandment. So first this morning, we consider our holy God. He's the one who's ordained this authority. So what we do unto authority, we do unto Him. What we don't do unto authority that we're supposed to do, we do against Him, because He established it. And again, He established it in wisdom, and He established authority for our good. The Bible is very clear and very plain about those two things. And so we need to recognize once again, and before we even get into all of these other types of authority, God is holy. God is righteous. God is awesome. God is worthy to be praised, and God is worthy to be obeyed. He's the King of Kings, and He's the Lord of Lords. He's the supreme authority. And when we have authority that is corrupt, when we have authority that is not living up to its own rules and standards, Scripture's clear about that as well, that every master, every leader, every owner, every authoritative person has a higher authority. And it's God Himself. And so even if we, with the means available to us, can't deal with corruption, He can, and He will. We can always appeal to His ultimate authority, but we also have to submit to His ultimate authority. Husbands don't get to just do whatever they want to do in the home. They are submissive to the authority of God. Government can't just do whatever it wants to do. It's submissive to God's government, God's authority. Elders in the church can't do whatever they want to do. They're submissive to God's authority, God's rule, because Christ is the head of the church. And so in everything that we do, we must honor, love, and be loyal to God. And that's a vital principle, because He's ordained all of these other authorities. But again, because we're sinners, we like to think about these authorities as if we could do better. We like to think about all of these authorities as if we know better than they do. And so we break this commandment. We don't honor or love. We're not loyal to our parents as we should be, or our fathers and our mothers. Sometimes just by outright disobedience. Boys and girls, your dad or your mom tell you to do something or ask you to do something and you don't do it. It's just flat out disobedience. Other times it's disrespect with the words that we speak. Or maybe not even the words or the attitude that you have towards them, but the words that you use later behind their back. Same thing with husbands. Disrespect, maybe by your words or your actions or your attitude, or maybe by words that you speak behind their back, or something that you text to somebody about, you know, what a goofball your husband was or something like that, and it's not honoring him. We disrespect our elders and our teachers and coaches and referees and the boss at work in the same ways. Or even the elderly. And the elderly, we should respect. We should love them. We should honor them because of their wisdom, because of their faithfulness. We're blessed to have elderly people in our lives, in our families, in our churches, in our community. And we should look up to them, and we should respect them, and we should weigh carefully the words that they say to us when they give us advice, and when they show interest in our lives. That's a joyful thing. That's a tremendously joyful thing. Our world wants nothing to do with the elderly. The most extreme form of this is euthanasia. We just kill them off early, and we call it mercy of all the things. And this is becoming more common, by the way, not here in our country, but in other countries it is. That's the extreme form. A far less extreme form, and maybe more common form, is something like, well, if that older generation would just kind of stay out of this, because they don't understand how things are today. And we can get that kind of an attitude, and that's not a godly attitude either. Yeah, they might not understand how to use all of the different devices that we use today. They might not get the internet, okay. But they've got godly wisdom, having run that race of faith so much further than any of us have. They know lots. And we should give them honor, and we should give them respect, and we should treat them with a loyalty. 1 Timothy 5 says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity." And above all of this, we're not patient as we're called to be either. We're not patient with all the shortcomings of those in authority over us. So, we've broken this commandment in many different ways and many different times. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. We truly need His righteousness in this respect. Now think about the honor and the love and the loyalty that Jesus Christ gave, first of all, to His Heavenly Father. "I came to do not my will, but the will of Him who sent me. Didn't you know I would be about my Father's business?" And where is Jesus at 12 years old? He's in His Father's temple. He's in His Father's house. He's reading and studying His Father's Word. He's listening. And then He's speaking. And then all of His ministry, He's speaking the Word of His Father with honor, with love, with loyalty to His Father in heaven. Jesus never did anything against His Heavenly Father. He never sinned against Him. He did everything that His Father sent Him to do. Perfect, pure, righteous obedience, which is now imputed to you and me by faith. And even to His earthly parents, and we've said this before, here's Jesus, fully God and fully man, perfect and righteous in everything. He's full of the Holy Spirit. If any child could ever say, "I am wiser than my parents," it would have been Jesus. Was that His claim? No. Is that how He lived His life? No. He submitted to His Father and to His mother. And we have two very specific instances, especially with His mother. At the wedding at Cana, He speaks respectfully to her and honors her. And then on the cross, when He says to the disciple John, "Here is your mother." And to His mother, He says, "Here is your son." And He provides for her after His death to be cared for. Jesus perfectly obeyed the fifth commandment, and that obedience has been imputed to us by faith. But we also need His perfect submission to His Father in submitting to death, even death on the cross, to pay for our sins, even our sins of the fifth commandment. And so all of our grumblings that we do under our breath or behind the back of those in authority over us, all the times that we're disrespectful to those in authority over us, every time we've cried out, that's unfair, bad call, every time we've disagreed vehemently with someone in authority over us, Christ died for those sins. And we need to repent of them. And we need to pray to the Lord for help and for the Spirit to lead us in the right direction. Away from these sinful tendencies, away from these sinful ways of living and speaking, and in the right ways of honoring, of loving, and being loyal to those that are in authority over us, to put that sin to death and live the new life. Well, what does it mean to honor and to love and to be loyal to those that are in authority over us? Well, we consider that secondly, our holy honor. If we look at verse 3 in Leviticus 19, the Lord says, and then Moses speaks this word, "Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father." And honor and revere are the same. What does that mean? Well, it means to fear or to respect. And notice what we have here in Leviticus 19, verse 3, and it's an important point to make. This kind of honor isn't just for fathers, but it's for mothers also. And the point is made emphatically by switching what would be normally the order of father and mother to mother and father. Because, boys and girls, not just your father deserves your respect and is owed your respect, but your mother as well. The very point and basic nature of this word to honor is that that person in authority over you, is a person that you are not equal to. You're equal in terms of being an image bearer of God, yes. You're equal in terms of being a human being, yes. You're equal in the way of salvation, yes. But you're not equal in your position. Your teacher has authority over you, boys and girls, because your teacher was given that position and earned that position. Your teacher went to school to train, to be taught, so that your teacher could teach. Went through the hiring process, the application process, interviewed, all that, and was given that position. You don't just get that position. It's the same with government. It's the same with the elders in the church. They're granted those positions. They're given those positions. There are certain qualifications that belong to those positions of authority. We don't just hand them out. You don't just get that. They have a status that is different than yours. And to honor them is to recognize that. Is to recognize this person has either worked for this position or earned this position or has been given this position by a higher authority. And therefore they should be honored. Your parents didn't work for their position as your parents. They were given that position by God. So you're not them. You're not at the same level as they are. You don't get to be parent alongside them. They are your parents and you must honor them. Ephesians 6 verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right with respect to our employers." 1 Timothy 6 verse 1, "Let all who are under a yoke as bondservants regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled." Very interesting that Paul there in 1 Timothy 6 connects our Christian witness to how we work. If you're not submissive to your employer and you don't honor your employer, that casts a negative impression on the gospel. Christians should be different in the workplace, in other words. 1 Peter 2, verse 17, with respect to government, "Fear God and honor the king." Matthew 22 as well, what did Jesus say? "Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's." In Romans 13, honor to whom honor is owed or is due. 1 Timothy 5:17, with respect to elders in the church, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and in teaching. And for the elderly, if you turn maybe just one page in your Bible, Leviticus 19, verse 32, you shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. That elderly person has been given a position in life that you haven't reached yet. That person isn't the same as you in terms of authority. That's an elderly person. Show honor, show respect to that person. Well, how shall we do this? Well, we do it in our hearts. We do it in our thoughts. Think highly of those that are in positions of authority over you. Speak respectfully to them and speak respectfully about them. Maybe that perhaps is the area where we falter the most. Because they're not around, they're not in the room, and so we can speak against their authority without any negative ramifications at all. But it's disrespectful, even if they're not there. Maybe it's even more disrespectful since they're not there. Obey their instructions and listen to their wisdom. Again, don't write off the elderly just because they don't maybe understand all of the ins and outs of life today. They understand a whole lot more than you think. Ask them for advice, and then when they give it to you, listen to it. Follow it. Weigh it. Give it due consideration. And show interest in their work. Boys and girls, one of the great ways you can show respect and honor to your parents is to show interest in the things that they do. Ask them about their day. They ask you about yours. Ask them about theirs. Show interest in the things that they do. Show respect for the work that they do. If your mom just spent some time and some consideration and thoughtfulness into cleaning things for you, then don't just casually toss your stuff around and make a mess of what she's just done. She did it for you. Respect that. Honor that. Appreciate that. And show that by showing interest in their work. How shall we love them? Well, we ought to love those in authority over us because of what they do for us, to be sure. But it isn't just that. We don't just love them because they do stuff. Because if that's the basis, then as soon as they're not doing it, then we must be off the hook and don't have to love them anymore. No. The ultimate main reason why you have to love those that are in authority over you is because that's God's will for you. Our catechism is very clear in summarizing that. We are to love them also. These are your neighbors. You remember the question of the teachers when they're testing Jesus about the commandments. And then one of the scribes, wanting to justify himself, asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And that account in Luke is exactly where Jesus gives us the account of the Good Samaritan. Who's your neighbor? Everybody. Even the president and the vice president and all the members of Congress. Your teacher is your neighbor. The elders in church are your neighbor. The referee is your neighbor. Your coach is your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Remember the golden rule? Treat others as you would want to be treated. Apply that to those in authority over you. How would you want to be treated in their position? Do you want to be talked about behind your back? Would you want to be disrespected? Would you want to be disobeyed? Would you want to be just completely disregarded? Like what you say doesn't matter? Is that how you would want to be treated? If you were the referee in that really, really tight game, and you have to make the call, how would you want to be responded to? Would you want to have to find a backdoor exit to make sure you can get out before the crowds get to you? You want to face all the jeers and everything else? Of course not. And someday, boys and girls, God may give you a position of authority. How would you want to be treated in that position? Would you want your students to listen to you if you were a teacher? When you're an elderly person, would you want people to come to you for advice, and then when you gave it, you'd want them to follow it? Hey, I thought about that, and you asked me the question, and I really thought about it, and this is what I think you should do. And then you watch the person go and do something completely different than what you said. No, you'd want them to follow. You'd want them to listen. When you're a dad or when you're a mom, you want your kids someday to be interested in the things that you do, and you want them to respect you. Show that love to those in authority over you. And loyalty. We should be concerned about the eternal salvation of those in authority over us, and we should be praying for it too. 1 Timothy 2 says, "First of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way." Peace in the land. An end to all the divisions and the polarizing. All of the violence. The immorality that goes sanctioned in our land and sometimes even praised and paraded. What if God, in His amazing grace, converted all of our government leaders? What if God's people would pray for that? What if we would pray for the Holy Spirit's powerful, immeasurable, gracious working, a might that we can't even begin to imagine, and He would change their hearts like He changed ours? Wouldn't that be an awesome thing? Wouldn't the church have a better sense of peace, a better reality of peace? Wouldn't fear persecution. Wouldn't fear for the futures of our grandchildren and great-grandchildren. If there was godliness in the land, if our judges and justices ruled according to God's word and His law and with standards of honesty and integrity and truthfulness, wouldn't that be a thing to pray for? Wouldn't that be a thing for God to achieve and to show the power of His grace and His might? For Christ to display His kingship. Now that doesn't mean that that's going to happen. But God's Word urges us to pray that way. To pray for kings, to pray for rulers, to pray for people in high positions. That shows loyalty, that shows fidelity. There's other ways you can carry this out as well. Protecting the good name and reputation of those that are in authority over us. So again, you're in the break room and one of your fellow employees is just riding the floor manager. Then you have an opportunity there to stand up for his good reputation and his good name. Don't neglect those that are in authority over us. As the elderly get discarded by our culture and society, what's our role? We're not going to put them away. We're not going to take our elderly and put them in some comfortable place that's at a comfortable distance from us so that we don't have to deal with them. No. We're going to keep being loyal to them. We're going to love them. We're going to visit them. We're going to provide for them. We're going to be involved in their lives. Boys and girls, you might not always love spending time with your family and doing things, but do them. If your parents have got some kind of family gathering put together, you go. Family vacation, you go. Family game night, you're playing too. And enjoy it. When you get older, especially you young men, call your mother. That's pretty simple and plain, but call your mother. She wants to hear from you. She needs to hear from you. And you actually need to speak to her more than you might think as well. With government, we pay taxes, we vote, we're involved. With respect to your teachers, do your homework and do your other assignments without grumbling and complaining. Do the work that they give you to do. For elders in the church, pray for them and pray for their work. With respect to your husband, speak highly of him to others. With respect to your employer, work hard and stay loyal to the company. You know, one of the reasons why we have some economic turmoil, there's a lot of reasons, a lot of factors, but one of the factors is the high cost to employers for hiring and training new employees. It's very expensive to do that. And we have a current culture right now. It doesn't happen everywhere, and it doesn't happen all the time, but it's happening more and more. People go, and they get hired for a job, and they stay for a week or two, and then they're gone. Or maybe they stay for a month, and then they're gone. Or they stay long enough to get the first paycheck, and then they're gone. And more that happens, the costs just keep going up. And you know who's going to pay for those eventually? It's you and me. Because people lack loyalty to their employer. If you're going to go work somewhere, do your best when you're there and stay loyal to the company. Find a place where you want to work, where you want to work, and invest yourself there. That's good for your employer, and it's good for your neighbor. We're also called to obedience and submission, according to the Catechism. And again, some verses from Scripture. Colossians 3, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Ephesians 5, 22 and 23. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Ephesians 6, 5 through 8. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. And Hebrews 13, verse 17, with respect to elders in the church, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. And then lastly, we're called to patience. And that's an important, vital aspect of our obedience, of honoring our neighbor, honoring God, keeping this commandment. Patience. Because if you think about every person that is in any kind of position of authority, that's a sinful human being. And sinful human beings are sinners. So those that are in authority over you, they will sin against you. They are also going to have weaknesses and frailties, inadequacies. They might not remember everything that they're supposed to do. They might not do everything that they're supposed to do. Sometimes they might get angry. Sometimes they might do it in a harsh manner. Sometimes they're going to go about things in the wrong way. Sometimes they might be neglectful because of their weakness. And those are not reasons for us to despise them. That's our natural instinct, is to despise them for their sins and for their weaknesses. It's a natural instinct for us to disrespect them for their sins and their weaknesses. It's natural for us to even get bitter or angry at them because of their sins and their weaknesses. God's Word says, be patient with them. Be long-suffering with them. Endure all of those sins and those weaknesses. Even if they're at fault. Even if they've got quirks and shortcomings and negative character traits and maybe even some glaring inadequacies. Maybe your boss at work really is inept. Really not very capable of carrying that position. Your responsibility is not to assess their competency. Your responsibility is to be patient with them and to do what they ask, and to do what your job is, and to do what's required of you, and keep them in prayer. And we're called to do all of these things, these five things: honoring, loving, being loyal to, obeying and submitting, and being patient. Those five things we're called to because it pleases God to rule us through these authorities. And when we honor and love and are loyal to these authorities, we are showing honor and love and loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ, who appointed these authorities over us. How you speak to these in authority, how you speak about these in authority, how you respond to them and react to them, you do that all before the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.